Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
I'm constantly amazed, flabbergasted, humbled by the fact that, you know, the first thing that Jesus did for his disciples after he resurrected was to cook for them.
It's about time, because we're going there. Ooh, I hope that you guys came hungry today, because on today's show, we have Artie Siqueira. Now, if you've ever watched anything on the Food Network, this name, this face, this personality is going to be familiar. But what you might not get on watching the show is how truly amazing not just this woman's food is, but how amazing she is. Artie, welcome to We're Going There. I'm so excited to have you again on the podcast.
Like, that was such a lovely intro.
I didn't even write it. Like, I literally am going ad hoc, like impromptu.
I know. I was sitting here like watching you going, is she just going? Right. She's just making this up as she goes along. This is good.
Well, the fun part is that we know each other in real life. So yes. I don't have to make anything up. This is really who you are. And I literally feel, I said this before we started recording, but I feel so cool when I watch the Food Network because I'm a loyal Food Network fan. Yes. I feel so cool to be like, dang, I know that chick. So it is my honor to have you not on the Food Network, but on the We're Going There podcast. So welcome for the second time.
Yes. Double dipping. I love it.
I'm so excited that you're here. This season, we are all about new beginnings. And I feel like people are, you know, used to, okay, new year, new you, new beginnings. But what I really want to hone in on is when we talk about new beginnings, I think I really want people to walk away from different angles from this season on like, okay, well, what does this mean for my life? I'm tired of doing the things that I have always done. Mm-hmm. Let me start something new, but I don't really know how to begin. I think this is where I want to start with you. I love that this season we get to have a chef on the show. I love your recipes. I have your cookbooks. I have to tell myself, I didn't buy them. I didn't have to because they were sent to me. And girl, I'm all about that discount, okay? So, but the links to your books are going to be in the show notes for everyone who wants to buy these recipe books. But listen, you've been on the show before and we were able to talk a little bit about your, like how you began and how your beginning was so different. Then there's the Food Network star. There's all these things. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time there. We'll put a link to your first episode in the show notes. But for those that are joining in we're in our ninth season already. Ninth season of the podcast. It's crazy. I can't believe it. And you are season two. So
I know.
In a nutshell, will you take us on this? I feel like this is so perfect for this season because you literally pivoted. You switched completely different
industries.
It was a new beginning. So take me on the new beginning of you stepping into being a chef.
Yeah. So all I ever wanted to do since I was a little girl was to be a journalist. I wanted to be Christiane Amanpour. And there was something very heroic and noble to me about it. I thought we were going to be best friends. And, you know, report from the minefields together and stuff. That didn't happen, FYI. But I was doing really well. I was working at CNN, which was like where I wanted to work since I was 11. And everything was going well. I got married and I moved to LA from New York because I was like, news happens everywhere. And I was just writing about this yesterday and I was like, and that's when God put his holy foot down. He was like, enough. And I just felt every door closing, every door that everybody else was like, you're getting this job. Nope, it would close. And I think it was because at that point, you know, I had sort of an understanding of God, but I did not know God. And he wanted me, and what he wants, he gets, you know what I mean? So he went after me with a passion, and he knew that I was so tied up in this idea of me being a journalist that once he took it away from me, I really had to contend with, well, who am I then? You know, and is the person that's left worthy of loving, worthy of being proud of, worthy of any of these things? And he said the answer was yes. And I was like, okay, cool. But you know, in that process, it was the kitchen that really was my sanctuary. It was where I went for peace and for order and for beauty. I'd always loved food. I know you get that feeling, and come from a family of incredible cooks. And so it was always there in the background, but this was the first time I kind of went out on my own. And as I did that, I ended up competing on a show called Next Food Network Star and winning it and getting my own cooking show. And so, yeah, this came completely out of left field and still has me feeling a little out of my depths in it, because I'm like, well, I didn't go to school for this. Why am I here? But for me, it is constantly, there is no reason on paper for me to be here except for God. It's only God, but God. And so maybe that's why he continues to keep me this in this incredibly, Lord Jesus, uncomfortable place on a daily basis, because it's a daily pointing, like not in my own strength, but in his.
This is so beautiful. You nourish people in the physical with food. And we're going to talk about kind of like this new adventure that you are on. You also nourish people through your written words, your spoken words, which is so beautiful. Side note, I can totally see you as a CNN journalist, because it's your accent too. It's your accent too. You just sound so posh.
I thought I had it in the bag, Bianca. Like,
I mean,
honestly,
I'm kind of surprised.
Like,
but when the Lord put his foot down, he put his foot down. He said, no, I don't want you giving news. I want you creating news headlines with your amazing food recipes. Okay.
Right. All the good news. It's all about the good news.
Amen. Amen. I love it. I love it. Here's the funny thing. We have some amazing like pastors, preachers, writers, communicators that are on the podcast.
Yeah.
And people will say like, oh, wow, that's so cool that, you know, this person was on the show. And really, I'm so excited that you're on the show, because you're over here name dropping names like Bobby. And I have to pause and be like, she's talking about Bobby Flay, you know, you're like, Guy Fieri. Like, it's hilarious to me. So forgive me as I geek out, but listen.
I feel the same way. I feel
the same
way.
Oh, this is so fun. This is so fun. Okay. So I want to talk about starting beginning, what might feel like failure might be the beginning of a really new recipe. So there's this one message that I taught out of the book of Ruth, and I called it Ruth's Roux. And to make a really good roux, you can't be afraid of the color going dark. And some people, sometimes when people make a roux, it's very light, but you're not going to get the depth of flavor that you would like a dark brown or a caramel looking, maybe even a chocolate brown looking roux if you're going to do like a gumbo or something seasoned. So I'm wondering, and because you're a chef and get to pick your brain on this, what are those things like in a recipe that have been burned or maybe you ruined or what felt like failure that led you to the thing that would be a delicious sauce or a delicious dish? Will you walk me through this process?
Sure.
Have you ever had that moment?
Yes. Well, so one of the big things is just burnt onions. Burnt onions are actually, in moderation, really delicious. Right? They add a bitterness and a char and a depth to a dish that you wouldn't find otherwise. So in I wouldn't just say Indian cooking, I'd say South Asian, even Persian, Afghani, there's a lot of rice dishes, rice with meat, and they're cooked together. And quite often they're finished with onions that are cut really, really finely and cooked in ghee until they're golden brown. And then you leave them to get a little bit crispy. I finish them with a little salt. But there have been times where I've let them sit just a little too long in the ghee and they've gotten more black than brown, you know? And they're still good. They still add something great. And it also makes me think of this one time I was on Guy's show, Guy's Ranch Kitchen.
Subtle flex, listeners.
I know. Listen,
subtle
flex. It's just, I dropped something. And I was making these pineapple upside down cornbread muffins. The recipe is in my new book in case anybody wants it.
So
it's like a sweet, nutty sort of brunch item. And I happened to, by mistake, double the amount of, I think it was baking soda or baking powder in it. And I realized it when they came out of the oven, because they were like overflowing out of the muffin tins. And I was like, this is really a bad time to have made that mistake, because we can't go back. I'm on the show for Guy's Ranch Kitchen. It's you and three or four other chefs who are, by the way, like James Beard nominated, like really incredible people. And this is a bad time for me to have made a mistake. However, it ended up being the greatest mistake, because they were so light and fluffy. And Guy was like, how did you do that? And I was like, I made a mistake is how I did it. You know, I was like, I was honest about it. And then that mistake ended up being how I now write the recipe, because it ended up more like a popover than a cornbread muffin.
Listen. Look, it coming from a chef, the mistakes that you think will ruin a dish might lead you to something surprising. This is the perfect place that I want us to pivot. I'm very excited because Unwind is the new project that you've worked on. And I love that it helps us see God as the one who can sustain us. So here's a chef talking about a good God who wants to sustain us. Talk to me a little bit about this project. And then I want to go into chefing and some of the things that you're learning in this season of your life. But why this and why this project now?
Well, I think it's pretty appropriate for the beginning of a new season. And when you're talking about new habits that you want to incorporate. So, you know, the kitchen had been my sanctuary, but, you know, 10, 15, I've been doing this for nearly 15 years now. 15 years later, I would look at the dinner hour very differently than I used to. And instead of looking at it as a source of joy and meditation and peace, it was a source of stress for me, honestly, because not only was I walking into the kitchen just utterly exhausted from all of the demands of the day, but now I was looking at the dinner hours like, I'm a food personality. My dinner cannot just be tater tots and hot dogs. You know what I mean? It has to be like chef worthy. And so it's literally my prayer today was like, Lord, help me to release these expectations. It was sucking the joy out of cooking for me. And I started to really relate to so many people that have talked to me about that. And I tried all the things, the meal prepping, the meal planning, all of that. And I cast my mind back to like 10 years ago, a woman that I refer to as my auntie, but she's not really. And she's Hindu. And she told me that she prayed before she cooked. And I was, before you cooked? And then she looked at me and was like, don't you do that? And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, totally. And when I asked her why she did it, she said, I pray and I teach everyone in my kitchen to pray to be sort of an open conduit for God's, God to do what he needs to do for all the people that eat my food. And I was like, and it sort of transformed the way I now look at that dinner hour or any moment when I go into the kitchen. And so I started to pray before I cooked. And what started off is like, oh Lord, just let this turn out okay, became, Lord, I'm walking in here and I have a burden. I'm discouraged. I'm sad. I'm scared. I'm tired. I'm mad at you. You know what I mean? All of those things. And it, instead of that 45 minutes being like a grumpy, here I am doing another thing for somebody else, it was 45 minutes of me just sort of talking to the Lord and sometimes just being completely quiet, but very intentional and finding healing and restoration and peace. God has tucked sacred. He has tucked holiness into the most mundane, not just difficult, mundane, boring, drudgery moments of our lives. It's there if we would just stop and take a second, like literally a second, to pray. And what I found is that then how I turned up in the kitchen was how I started turning up in every other part of my life. Before I did the laundry, when I went to carpool, when I had to have a really difficult conversation, when there was a really hard project to work on, I was already in the practice of just like a high five, like a little fist bump with the Lord before I went into the kitchen. So of course I would be doing that before I had a difficult conversation with somebody. You know what I mean? It's a muscle. And so that's what the cookbook is all about. That's why it's called a devotional cookbook for the harried and hungry, because I do believe that we are at our worst when we're hangry.
Oh, absolutely. I hate to admit that.
When we snap at the people we love. That's when we have no patience for people. You know, that's when I am at my worst, is when I'm hangry. It's not actually when I'm under intense suffering or, you know what I mean? It's when I'm hangry.
I agree.
Yeah. That's when you get tested. And so I think it's a perfect opportunity to take a minute, read a devotion. Every one of the devotions starts with when you need hope, joy, courage, peace, happiness, all of those things. And then there's a recipe attached to each one of those devotions that plays off an image or an idea in the devotion.
Obsessed. I mean, I'm so obsessed. You have no idea. Don't tell any of the guests this season, but this is definitely my favorite episode of the season so far. Okay. Okay. No pressure. No pressure.
Got it. Got it. Got it.
In preparing for the interview, there was one thing that stuck out. And I don't know if this is something that you said or this is a takeaway, but let me actually ask you this. Do you believe that food lifts the spirit? Hi friends, I'm interrupting this podcast to let you know about Home Chef. HomeChef.com is an at-home delivery system, and what I like most about it is that you can get easy-to-cook options, or if you're an aspiring chef like me, you could actually try something a little bit more daring with their culinary experiences. If you don't have time or patience to meal prep or grocery shop, then this is the thing that's going to make it the easiest for you. In fact, I get mine delivered on Sundays, and when I get home from church, I whip something up right then and there. Not only am I saving money rather than going to Uber Eats or DoorDash, I get to make it at home. In addition to it being easy and convenient, statistics will say that I'm saving about $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners of We're Going There podcast 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/going there. I have to let you know I do skip out on the desserts, and I have to let you know that you have to be an active subscriber to receive those free desserts. But if you want to try it out or get more information, go to homechef.com/going there. That's homechef.com/going there. Hope you enjoy. Do you need to catch your breath? Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. The indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to some recent research. So what's the solution? Introducing an air purifier that captures the attention of established media outlets like CNN, Money, ABC, and more. What is it? The Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out 99% of dangerous contaminants that your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollens, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses that make you sick. Air Doctor comes back with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code WGT, and you'll receive up to $300 off of air purifiers. Exclusive for podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special by going to airdoctorpro.com, airdoctorpro.com, and use the promo code WGT.
Yeah. Well, it depends who prepared it.
Ooh.
I think it depends who prepared it. And that's one of the reasons I think it's so important when we're cooking. To get ourselves right. I think, you know, your frustration, your hopelessness, my frustration and hopelessness shows up in how I cook, right? Yes. My food, it can deliver that feeling. And if I'm serving it to my children and my husband and whoever it is, why would I want to leave that bad taste in their mouths?
Yeah.
And so I think it has the potential to. I'm constantly amazed, flabbergasted, humbled by the fact that, you know, the first thing that Jesus did for his disciples after he resurrected was to cook for them.
Cook them a meal. Come on. Yes.
I mean, I'm assuming that's my savior.
That's my God.
That's right. I mean, and let's talk about it. He was, you know, he was no longer human, right? Like he was fully in his godhood. Maybe there's a theological controversy over that. I'm not sure. He's resurrected in his new body. Okay. And he does a very human thing because you can't just grill a fish. You got to take the scales off. You got to gut it. You got to season it. You got to build a fire. He was doing all of this on the beach while they were out, you know, fishing. And they came in and he was like, want to eat? That was the first thing he did. And so I think that there's something so humble and mundane and boring about all of those things. But he saw value and holy connection in it. And he knew that, you know, his disciples were, I can only imagine how brokenhearted and discouraged they were. He'd just been murdered and they'd watched it. Yeah. You know what I mean? This one that they thought was going to save them. And the first thing he does is not deliver a sermon or a parable or even like, I don't know, comfort them. He made them food. That was the way that he spoke directly to their needs. So that's, you know, I think that you're right. I think food has the ability to lift spirits, but it depends on the maker.
Okay, so a couple things are going on. This is like an older movie. I don't know if you've seen it, but And it's actually, I think it's a Latin American movie, but like Water for Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reminding me of this right now. In addition to this, I'm actually making bread today. I have a team member from work here. Her name is Michaela, and we're making bread rolls. We're doing this together. And you know what I'm going to do before I make this bread? I'm going to pray.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to pray. I said, Jesus, you're the bread of life. So this bread better be so good. I mean, literally, it's going to make sinners repent. That's how good this bread is going to be.
I join you in that prayer.
So this is what I kind of want to unpack in our time. There's so much I want to ask you. Like literally, I can get down my questions and I could just talk to you forever. But in a season, it's been a very interesting season for me. And just recently I was like, gosh, I'm going to be cooking for one. And if I'm honest with you, I was in my emotions. I was feeling like a sense of loneliness, a sense of isolation. And I was like, I just don't want to cook for one. It's just not fun. And so in my world of extremes as an Enneagram 7, it's either I'm going to cook for one or for 10. So I just picked up my phone and I texted a bunch of people and I'm like, this is random, but if you guys are free, will you come over? And here I am making homemade pesto and I'm doing this pasta. I'm doing this salad. I want it to be nourishing and full. So what advice can you give someone when wanting to bring others around the dinner table while not necessarily feeling like they're the greatest of chefs?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, besides buying your cookbooks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, buy my cookbook and you'll have some great recipes. No, you know, so I'll tell you two things. One is one of my children's favorite meals. Well, no, my oldest, because I was pregnant with the youngest. One of my favorite meals, and actually her favorite meal too, is it was the middle of summer in LA. We lived in an old apartment building. So that means no AC.
No AC.
And when you're pregnant, you know, you're usually like 10 to 15 degrees hotter. And I was super pregnant. I was like, you could see me from 5 miles away. So we went swimming. And before we went swimming, I said to my husband and my daughter, I said, listen, we're going to go swimming and we're going to go home and we're going to have granola for dinner. That is it. We're doing granola for dinner. And they were like, whoa, she must be tired. Because I would never normally. But we sat down and I still remember the feeling of just setting out the bowls and the granola and the milk and the fruit and just really being able to relax and connect and just be with them. You know what I mean? And so I tell you that story because it reminds me of the story of Jesus looking at the old lady bringing her two mites to the temple and him saying, that's all she has to give. And that's more than everybody here is bringing. And so I think that's the same idea is you may not feel like your cooking ability is sufficient. That's not the point, right? It's not the point. You could make ham sandwiches, man. It's the gathering around the table that is you know, the truly magical part. And if while making those sandwiches, you have spent a little time, gotten reconnected with the Lord, because we all disconnect, just reconnect and ask him to work through your humble ham sandwiches. Guess what? It's going to taste like a Cubano. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It has that ability. So I think don't overthink it, you know?
Okay. So for somebody listening, and they're like, well, what's the motivation of cooking when I have Uber Eats or I have Postmates or I can just, you know, go swing by In-N-Out for our West Coast family. In-N-Out, our greatest hamburgers. This is our
best
contribution to America.
The best.
Can you share an instance where cooking helped you navigate a new beginning or a significant change in your life?
You know, well, cooking is such a constant for me. I will say that one of the biggest challenges I've experienced is when, so my husband and I have been together since we were 18, and like about 5 or 6 years ago, he had ulcerative colitis when he was a child, and then the Lord miraculously healed him. And so all throughout our relationship and our marriage, that has been my story, you know. I took it on as my healing. And then it came back. It came back 5 or 6 years ago. And so that has been really difficult on all the levels you can imagine. But the one that I didn't foresee was that I changed the way I cooked because he is so sensitive to so many things. So he can't have dairy, chicken eggs. He can't have, the biggest difficulty has been, he cannot have nightshades. So that means no tomatoes, no chilies, no red peppers, no eggplant, no potato. Well, I mean, potatoes he can handle. And so that's been a really difficult change to make. And it was something that I heard other people had to deal with. And I was like, that sucks. I mean, just dig the grave already. Like, sounds awful to me, especially as an Indian, you know, like so many of our gravies use tomatoes. And I have found a way around it. But I will tell you that for a while, cooking lost a lot of its joy because so many of the ingredients had been taken away from me. And so that was really hard. So not only was I sort of mourning the fact that my best friend was ill again, the father of my children was ill again, but then it was showing up in, you know, in the kitchen, which is like my joy and peaceful sanctuary place. But it is possible, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it is possible to continue to find beautiful things to eat and enjoy. He's doing much better. I know people always ask, he's doing much better. But I think that that's kind of the interesting thing about, if you are a person that loves to cook, is that your cooking is such a, is a reflection of where your life is at. And there are going to be periods where you're not going to feel it. And that's okay. It's okay. But it's just a season usually.
So I wanted, before the interview had started, I had asked, hey, I would love a recipe that we as podcast listeners can do together. And so will you give me a recipe that feels like easy entry? And then I'm also inviting everyone else to make this same recipe. Now, this was, again, you were on the podcast, I want to say season two or three, but you gave us, yes. And you gave us a recipe, and there were several people that actually did the recipe and posted it on social media too. I was so touched. I was so touched. So I'm going to do the same invitation. So the recipe that you're going to give us right now, we'll go through it quickly, and then we'll make sure we'll put the ingredients and the directions in the show notes. But what recipe are you vibing right now that you want to share with the We're Going There podcast listeners that we're inviting people to make, not just for themselves, maybe even make for others?
Yeah.
So what are some of your faves? Or actually, give us the one that you want us to do.
The one that I'm going to do is, I'm just trying to find, so this is the book, in case anyone's looking at this visually.
I love it, yes.
So it's called Nargisi, which is Persian spinach and eggs. So the thing that I love about this recipe is—
Wait, this sounds very intimidating. Your recipes are not. I just need someone to listen, or they're watching on YouTube. This sounds like, wait, you said Persian and it's a word I don't understand. Are you kidding me? No. What I love about your recipes is that any at-home chef, any at-home cook can pick it up and do it. So I just had to give that little caveat because I don't want someone to freak out and be like, no, I'm not going to do it, but go ahead.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing I love about Persian cooking specifically. I grew up in Dubai, which is just across the water from Iran. And so my mom's best friend is Iranian. And so it had such an impact on the way that my mom cooks. And so then, of course, it has an impact on how I cook. Iranian Persian cooking is very aromatic. It's all about how the house smells. And so what I love about this is it takes two really kind of mundane ingredients, spinach and eggs, and transforms them with leeks. There is saffron in it. You can skip it if you don't feel like using it, but that's the little gilding of the lily. To me, that is sort of, it's a recipe that sort of shows you this is what God does. Right? He takes the humble spinach and eggs, he adds a little saffron to it, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I've never had anything this good before. But basically, you know, have you heard of shakshuka?
Oh, I love shakshuka. Yes, I've been to Israel several times. It's like my favorite dish.
Yes, of course. Yes. So you know. So this is sort of a Persian version, except that there's no tomatoes in it. You can guess why. And it just uses spinach. And the idea of this dish is, it's called Nargisi because it refers to the crocus flower, because the colors of the dish reminded the Persians of spring. And the crocus flower blooms in the spring. So it's green, white, yellow, gold. And so it's this very light, bright, happy new beginnings. We're going to start all over. We worship the God who does a new thing constantly. And so I think that's super appropriate for you guys.
So this is a new beginnings recipe. I'm very excited. Yeah. One question though, which I'm always concerned, where do I get saffron? that's going to be good and not break the bank?
So I like to go online to buy my spices. Yeah.
Okay. I was a little hesitant. I'm like, are they giving me saffron or is this imitation?
Yeah. Well, so I go to ones that I trust. So there's two places that I trust for great spices, and this is not sponsored. One is called Burlap and Barrel. And with both of these places, especially with Burlap and Barrel, they tell you the stories of going to the farmers and shaking their hands and buying the stuff. It's like a real relationship that you're buying into. So Burlap and Barrel, and then also the Spice House. I love them.
I'm familiar with Spice House. Okay, good.
Yeah, Spice House has been around forever. I mean, you can find some stuff on there, but listen, I just returned a wig that my daughter bought for Halloween off Amazon. So it's not, you know, there's some things on there. You're like, that's not what the picture looked like at all.
I love it. So I've been exploring more Middle Eastern recipes. And so I killed the maklouba, the maklouba. It was very, very good. My house smelled like coriander and cumin and cardamom for like 4 days, but it was really good. Okay. So as we wrap up this interview, first, let me just say, I'm so proud of you. Of everything that you've accomplished with being an untrained, formally, you didn't go to any of these fancy places and you didn't, you know, stodge here or, you know, sous chef over here. Like, you really are a homegrown chef, and the Lord has opened up some amazing doors for you. So as a woman in the world of chefing, as a woman of color in the food industry, and as a woman of color in the food industry, which is predominantly male, and also somebody who's so passionate about what she believes and the Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much of making what feels very elitist to some, very just practical to everyone. I'm so excited about this new project. The link to the book is going to be in the show notes. I'm encouraging everyone to follow along on your journey, not just in cooking, but also online on social media. In fact, they could tag when these recipes go out. I'm going to put a link, because the spelling of your name is a little bit difficult. So I'm going to actually put it in the show notes. You guys, the link to her Instagram, the link to her website, the link to the recipe, the link to the book, everything's going to be there. And I would love for them to tag you as well, so you get to see people stepping into the new beginning of cooking and the power that food has to bring people around the table. I model my leadership after the life of Jesus. And that is simply, I cook for people and I love them well. And thank you for making food allow us to love like Jesus. Artie, I appreciate you. I'm so grateful to know you. I feel cool by association. And thank you for being on the show. I'm so excited. If you guys have enjoyed the podcast, click the show notes for more information and hit subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, consider leaving a 5-star review for We're Going There. If you don't like the podcast and want to give it 1 star, my name is Beyonce Carter. And we'll go from there. I love you, friends. Thanks for listening. Love you, Artie.